welcome to the summer series with me, Nicole Sachs, on the Cure for Chronic Pain Network. You are here. Hello, hello, my friends. Happy to be here with you today. This is Nicole Sachs, and you have reached the final episode of the summer series with me on this podcast, The Cure for Chronic Pain. And we have so much to talk about today. You know, it is September 2nd, so there is no denying that summer is coming to a close. Whether or not you are a person who sees summer as a very different space, if you're a teacher or if you're a parent that had kids that were home, or if you had the kind of job that changes its energy of the summer, or if you have just been riding this ride with us and spending the summer with us in whatever way that that means to you, I want you to know that it has been such a privilege for me to spend this summer hearing from you and including you on this podcast with me. You know, I went into this summer with a plan. I had been doing the podcast in sort of the same cadence for 3 years. I think more than 3 years, actually. Yeah, a little bit more than 3 years, which was every other week I did an interview or a real-time heal, and every other week I did a solo pod. And I came to a point where I really wanted to invite in the energy of community. Anyone who does a retreat with me knows community is the number one thing we build. We don't even learn together until we connect with one another. The first moment, whether it's a weekend retreat, so it's a Friday night, or if it's a week-long retreat and it's a Monday morning, well, the first thing we do is we build community. We talk to each other. We connect with each other. We make ourselves open to being in the same space with people who are going through exactly what we're going through. So this summer was important to me. I wanted to start learning you and start inviting you on, because what my team and I are creating for going forward is going to be really, really exciting. And I can't talk too much about it, but what I can say is everything takes time, and we are in production of what is next. So even though I am concluding the summer series today, and we're going to talk a lot about what we have experienced together this summer, there is nothing about this time in our lives that is a conclusion. It is a continuation. You know, we're wrapping up the summer. We're moving into what's next. We're going to talk all about that and how we're going to spend our time together. But I just want to acknowledge that, you know, I did set an intention to bring you guys onto the podcast, to hear from you, your stories, your questions, starting to come together in anticipation of what's next. And we did it. We did it. We spent the summer together. Some of you guys actually were on air with me. Some of you spoke into the speak pipe, and I was able to reference it. But many, many more of you connected with me and gave me the information that I was looking for. You told me where you are. You told me with what you struggle and the things that you wonder about and your wins and your challenges. And so many of you really helped me. You really helped me to understand where this community is. And I want you to know that just because the summer series is concluding today, if you have left me a speak pipe, it doesn't mean it's not going to find its way into the content, you know, moving forward. And it also doesn't mean that I want to stop hearing from you. Speak pipe is open. I'm keeping it open. You know, I don't always know exactly what I've announced in the past, but as my progression into the next phase of this podcast ebbs and flows and evolves, I evolve. And one of the things that I'm most proud about in this podcast is I show up right where I am every single week. Sometimes the things I want to do change and morph and grow and transform, and I transform with you. So although we're wrapping the summer series today, the speak pipe will remain open. Please feel free to come to www.speakpipe.com/Nicole Sachs. Share your stories with me. Ask your questions. Share your triumphs. I love your success stories. I celebrate with you. So anything, just know that I'm here and you can keep talking to me. So what I want to do today together is I want to bookend the summer with some big picture takeaways that might help you over the next month, during which time I want to invite you to do the 28-day challenge. So we're going to talk more about this as I wrap the podcast today, but the 28-day challenge is something I have a video on it on my YouTube channel. So if you're interested in hearing more about the 28-day challenge, than I say about it today. You can go to my YouTube channel and look up the video, the 28-day challenge. But essentially what I want to do with you guys is invite you to participate in a 28-day journal, speak, and meditation practice. And my team and I are going to do it with you. You know, it's to me, it's a great way to start what I see as a new year. Now, I know that this is not the official new year of the calendar, but maybe it's because I have kids, like so many parents, or maybe it's because my inner child has never really calmed down very much. But when I think of the new year, the most salient feeling of the new year for me is September, because I live in the Northeast, the seasons change, my children go back to school, everything feels fresh and new and possible and alive. I just love the fall. And so for me, the fall is new beginnings. And as such, I thought September is a great time to plant new seeds and set intentions. And so at the end of the podcast, I'm going to give you all the details you need for the 28-day challenge. Like I said, my team and I are going to do it right beside you. I'm going to do my practice every day for 28 days. Trust me, that feels scary to say because I'm a woman of my word. So if I say I'm going to do it, I'm going to freaking do it. And I don't love seeing myself on a daily basis any more than you do. It can be hard. It can be cringy. It can be challenging. It can make me feel uncomfortable. But guys, being uncomfortable does not mean that we are unsafe. So we're going to do this together. So at the end of the podcast, I'm going to give you more details about that. But first, I want to leave you with a recap of what we explored this summer, so you can take these big themes with you into your daily practice. I think it is incredibly important to take a moment to look back. It's really the only way we have of recognizing how we've changed and how far we've come. And there's one thing that I notice about people doing this work is that they start and often they're so desperate for change that once they get habituated into a new way of life where they're feeling a little better and on a daily basis, they're not completely owned by their pain or symptom or syndrome or low energy or anxiety or depression, we tend to forget how far we've come. And that is really, really important to acknowledge. I was running on the beach this morning and I was thinking that there was a time not so long ago that if you told me I would wake up early and run 5 miles barefoot in the sand, I would tell you, you were so freaking crazy that you needed to go seek help, that you were talking about someone else and not me. And you know, here I am. I'm in a really good spot and I'm able to do that with this body that I have at 50 years old. And I'm just saying it's important to remember to have a beginner's mind and to remember how far we've come. And so, you know, it got me thinking when I was running about some of the other big changes that have entirely reshaped my life just in the past 6 months. And I would have been utterly unable to predict them last year. And it made me appreciate how deeply important this work continues to be in my life, in the lives of the people that are speak piping to me and writing to me, you guys. And so I want to really go through what we've been through together this summer, what we've learned together, what we've experienced and shared, so we can remember how far we've come. And I can invite you guys to deepen your practice as we review it. So bear with me. I've actually made some notes. I rarely speak from notes. I'm one of the off-the-cuff kind of girls that you'll meet. But this was too important to me to really lay out for you the high points of what I feel like we've really learned together. So I'm going to go through them. We're going to go through them together and see how it goes. So, okay. As we began the summer series, we talked about faith and belief. This idea that we don't have to let our dark moments get stuck in us or become the lens through which we make future decisions. We don't need to get caught in cycles where we continue to plan our lives that way. So important. If we meet fear with curiosity, something you hear me say all the time, replace your fear, which is your first reaction to things, with curiosity. I wonder how that's going to go. We can open ourselves to the possibilities we might never have seen, like those I'm living in now. faith I described in that podcast, in our first episode, is recognizing the puzzle pieces as they emerge and using them as a bridge between what is and what is next. Okay, so the question is, what stands in our way? What keeps us from seeing a new path? So I talked about how we tell ourselves stories to create meaning, to explain our lives to ourselves in ways that are intended to make us feel safe, but actually end up having the opposite effect. Okay, so when we live in our stories, the things we've said to ourselves over and over again, we attach fear and meaning in ways that only serve to trap us in our own chronic cycles. And guys, if anything in this is sparking some renewed interest or epiphany for you, go back. All these summer series are available to you. You can re-listen and maybe experience them in a different way. So for example, if I tell myself my migraines mean that I am broken and unable to do the things that I need to do, that's my story, that I will continue to send those messages to my nervous system that put it right back in fight or flight and prevent my healing. And so, you know, just important awareness, awareness, awareness. Always, I want you to be awake to your patterns, to your cycles, to the way you inhabit your life. So as we moved on, we took a step further and we explored what happens when we fight ourselves, right? Remember the idea of resistance and how we will sometimes resist the very things that would make us feel better because it's more familiar to do what we've always done, to wait for circumstances to change, for our schedules to get easier, for our jobs to get more lucrative, for our relationships to become more stable. We've all done this, guys. I've done this. Before we do what we need to do to start feeling better. And it should come as no surprise, if you've been listening and tracking the themes here, that resistance grows when we partner with it. And guys, it's okay. Like everything we talk about, please bathe it in self-compassion. We all do this. But as we said, resistance is just another form of TMS. It's sent to us to convince us in the familiar form of our own voice. Remember, your resistance whispers to you in your own voice, so you trust it. And our own thoughts that we trust telling us the old stories. And what might they say to us? You're broken. You're lazy. You always quit. And we believe these powerful partners. They conspire to distract us from the truth that you actually have a choice. Okay, we'll come back to that though. But I just want to always remind you that when resistance whispers to you, take a pause and say, is this still serving me? Because if you come up with it's not, you have a choice. Okay, so let's first look at what we discussed this summer about the language we use to tell our stories, because we know we tell them, but let's talk about the language. So remember when I described the paradox of how TMS creates the safest unsafe space? You know, I always say when you're laying in bed with a migraine, you're safe according to your nervous system, but you're safe in the unsafest way because that's not what we want our lives to be. So even though our pain conditions legitimately undermine us and weaken our health when we frame them and speak of them, we use language of ownership. You know, my back pain, my bad back. My anxiety. We use language of ownership that is intended to make us believe we are owning and taking control of our conditions, and then they come to define us. You know, we say, my IBS. I'm a headache person. I'm a stomach ache person. You know, and in a sense, like we said in the relationship episode, nobody can take that from me. It is mine. And ironically, even though it's safe in the unsafest way, it gives us a little bit of power. So we have to think about the role this plays. You know, my pain, it gets me out of things I don't want to confront, the big issues and conflicts, the questions of self-worth and value, and why are we here? So how does this all start? We discussed through the summer how unconsciously we all drag with us our relationships from childhood, starting with our parents. These relationships required repression. Okay, so whenever we talk about defense mechanisms, I want you to remember that they work for us until they don't. So these relationships when we were young required repression because you can't feel all the conflict and trauma. You have to get with your day. But what happens with repression is we bring all these big repressed feelings into adulthood. And then, you know, they're not working for us anymore. They're deemed by our nervous system as too dangerous to feel. Remember, life is a choice between what hurts and what hurts worse. And if your nervous system is looking up at these repressed emotions or looking down, wherever they are, repressed or in the air in front of you, blocking you, they are going to choose, your nervous system is going to choose the pain you feel in your body. Because when the feelings are deemed by your brain and your nervous system too dangerous to feel, they are somaticized in our bodies. And as such, they become part of us. And in some way, they are dearly held and tended to by us, and we reframe them as ours. My migraine, my pain. And unfortunately, what that does, it gives us an impotent form of power, which we continue to feed in order to avoid going into our darkest rooms and turning on the light and looking underneath them in our journal speak. So it is so important to realize, as always on this podcast, I'm just wanting you to be awake and aware this is happening. It starts in childhood. The repression is necessary. We have to get through that powerless time. But as we get older, it puts it in our bodies and it makes us safe in the unsafest way. And even if unconsciously we see this as power, I have my migraine, I get to stay home, I don't have to go into the big bad world, it is an impotent form of power. It will not allow us to move forward and to grow and to heal. So what's the answer? Allowing ourselves to feel, naming what we are feeling, pausing to stay long enough with the feeling, and then eventually we can release it. So when we pause, when we allow, name, and stay, because we're adding stay. I think in a previous podcast, I was like, wait a second, it's really allow, name, allow, release. And now I'm evolving to understand that it's really allow, name, stay, release. Okay. So instead of allowing ourselves to feel when we're in this resistance cycle and repression, naming what we are feeling and pausing to stay long enough, we distract ourselves or let our attention be diverted. And this is part of the very natural brain and nervous system and how it seeks to protect us. And in that way, we make our pain part of us and use it to protect us. So just like children might use an eating disorder or get an eating disorder and unconsciously use it, or a stomach ache, to control their chaos and get the love and attention they crave, that's what keeps happening as we get older. So if we can touch into this discomfort and stay long enough, understanding that uncomfortable doesn't mean unsafe, and we're doing that together, guys, as a community, we can meet fear with curiosity. We can sit back further in our chairs, get perspective, and tell ourselves that we are going to be okay. Then what happens? And I watch it happen in my own body all the time and in my dear friends and colleagues and contacts that are doing this work, we find that it actually passes through us and we are naturally able to release it. And I want to say that as I was reframing this allow, name, stay, release, adding the stay, and I'm always looking at acronyms, so I was like, ANSR. Guys, it's the answer. I love figuring out things in real time. It's the answer. We don't want to live safe in the unsafest way anymore, my loves. We don't want to live in a jail of our own making and creation, even though we didn't know we were creating it. But it's a jail. And I've been in the jail. I've been in the jail and sat in the jail cell as I held the key and didn't know what to do with it. So here we are together, understanding that we hold the key and we're going to know what to do about it together, as we're always talking about here. So on the podcast, I talked about tears being toxic. I talked about the symptom imperative, where our nervous system, which is sophisticated enough to move our pain around to continue to distract us from our big feelings and impossible conflicts. That was the symptom imperative episode, if you want to go back and listen to that. And then, of course, as we moved on and we really reached the crescendo of this repression, we talked about the biggest conflict of all, our own mortality and the nature of existence, which is finite. The realization that it will all end and we will never have enough time to do all the things we want to do. So what do? We distract ourselves consciously or unconsciously, and these distractions come in the form of our own voices, like I said, the voice of resistance or internalized shame of all the people that convinced us we weren't good enough. And what do? Anything other than what we need to do. And so what do we really need to do, guys? I mean, what do we need to do to heal? We need to do the next right considered action. Left foot, right foot, breathe. Stay. You know, we talked about triggers on the podcast. What do we really need? We need to pause after the trigger and allow ourselves to see that we have a choice. We can sit with discomfort. We can sit back further in the chair. We can remind ourselves everything will be okay. And guys, I know. It doesn't always feel like this, but I'm inviting you to try. Because it is not possible to change without willingness and without effort. Life is a behavior modification program. We will never just lay in bed and think ourselves into better feelings. We have to act our way. And pausing is an action. So when you pause after the trigger and you wait in it, instead of reacting, and you say, okay, I see that I'm reacting to something. It's familiar. Get curious, allow. I'm curious here. I'm allowing the feelings. I'm not just reacting, I'm allowing. Name. What is happening right now? Oh shit. That person just spoke to me and it reminded me exactly what my mother always does to shut me down. I see. Pause. Stay. I don't need to run right now. I don't need to run for the food. I don't need to run for the dissociation. I don't need to run for any other addictive behaviors. I feel my back tense up. I don't need to run into the pain to be safe. I'm just going to stay. Let it land. Allow it to pass through. And another thing, and this is how we naturally release the answer. Allow, name, stay, release. And in this moment, you can ask yourself, and this is very powerful for me. What if this is it, whatever it is, and this is enough right now, this moment? What if that realization that I just connected to my trigger and I don't have to react, what if this is it and this is enough? Maybe you can invite all those anxious voices, like Ram Dass says, all those little schmooze, to take a seat in the back of the bus. Because there's room for them back there as long as they're not driving. Remember what Elizabeth Gilbert says when she says how we talk to fear. Fear has to come on the ride with us. We cannot deny fear. When we deny fear, we give it power because what we resist persists. But when we invite it to sit in the back, when we strap it in and we say, you can scream the whole time if you want, but you're not driving the car, you're not picking the snacks, and you're not mapping the route. That's when we get real power, not impotent power, real power. Remember, you don't have to change your life to be completely free of chronic conditions. You just have to bring these feelings, these repressed feelings that we are unearthing with our willingness, from the unconscious to the conscious mind, so your nervous system knows that your repressed emotional world is not the predator, and it will not have power over you. It cannot kill you. When that happens, your nervous system no longer needs to choose the pain. It no longer even needs to choose between what hurts and what hurts worse because you felt the feelings. According to your nervous system, the hurt that it's choosing, you know, the hurts worse that it's choosing not to feel is that the feelings are so unfelt and dangerous, it assumes that they're going to kill you. The feelings are tantamount to a woolly mammoth pursuing you. This is fact. this is Sarno's theories that I have been living and embodying and carrying the message for 20 plus years. This is what's happening. So when your nervous system no longer has to choose, then you're free. The pain signals stop firing because when it needs to choose, it will choose your stomach, your pelvic, your hip pain. It's the safer option. Remember the Carl Jung quote, I can't stop saying, when we make the unconscious conscious, well, he says, until we make the unconscious conscious, it will direct our lives and we will call it fate. But when we make the unconscious conscious, we will stop being directed by it. We will stop sleepwalking through our own lives. We will stop being lived by life. We will be living our lives instead. And that's what is possible here. You guys, I cannot say it with more passion and purpose that this is possible for you. You can do this. We're going to do it together this month. So remember, allow, name, stay, release, the answer. We can do this. So I invite all of you to use your journal speak to take back your actual power. Your power isn't your depression or your migraines. That has been used. So people will help you. Like, let me say this to you. You are not choosing this. This has been a reaction to life that you had your migraines or your depression or your anxiety or your back pain or your pelvic pain or your IBS or your fibro. And it was a gift until it wasn't anymore. It did help you ask for help. It did get you out of things that might force you to confront and feel your feelings. Like, it has happened. And it's okay. And there's no shame in it. And there's no blame. And you didn't choose it. And you didn't create it. And it's not in your head. However, although the pain is not in your head, the solution is not in altering your physical body, whether that be by surgery or procedure or diet change or medication. I'm not saying I'm against all of those things, you know, in a definitive way. I understand there's space for everything, but really my biggest goal here is to help you understand that you have far more power than you realized to take back your health, both emotional and physical. So understand that this is what has been happening. You have unconsciously been in the space of all these chronic conditions, and they have served you by helping you get away from what your nervous system deemed too impossible to feel. But I want you to know this. You can take to your practice instead of your bed. Your journal speak and meditation practice, you can take to your practice instead of your bed, and you can write your way to actual power. When you start practicing self-care and creating boundaries and doing the work so that you can really grow, your relationship with yourself will change, as will your relationship with everyone around you. If you consistently show up, the changes will start to happen and belief will grow inside of you. You will become more and more aware that you have a choice about how you feel. You have a choice about what you pay attention to. You have freedom to tell yourself a new story, to give the voices of shame and resistance less attention and less power, to remember that both belief and doubt begin as seeds and grow through the sunlight of your attention. Which one will you feed? What might we make room for if we let belief grow instead of doubt? What might we have if we ask ourselves, how can we have more than we ever imagined? Would we find ourselves running on a beach thinking that the only limits in our lives are those we impose on ourselves? I don't know. I leave it to you. Everything in this podcast I do, I live it, I breathe it, I believe it, And then I leave it to you. I hand it to you with an open hand. If this makes sense for you, if it lands for you, then I hand it to you because I want it for you. And with your true readiness, I believe that you'll take it. Okay, let's talk about the next 28 days. I want us to give ourselves this challenge as a community that is communicating on SpeakPipe, communicating on my Facebook group, Journal Speak with Nicole Sachs, LCSW. Come to Facebook. It's a private group. Nobody sees your posts except the people that myself and my admins accept into the group. So you are safe in the group. There's thousands of people supporting and loving each other. There's also my Instagram community at Nicole Sachs LCSW. We're all talking there every day, hundreds of thousands of people there. Please join us. Let's do the 28-day challenge together. So what this means is that on the first day you start it, which I want to be the day that this podcast airs. So Friday, September 2nd, 2022 is going to be the first day of the 28-day challenge. If you are listening to this in a different time zone and you get it on Saturday, then let that be the first day. You know, let's not get rigid about it, but let's start the day that the podcast drops. And I want you to make an inventory of your pain, your energy. So let's do pain, whatever you consider pain, whether it's, you know, stomach or anxiety or head or fibro. Pain is just an umbrella term. So whatever you're struggling with is going to be one of the categories. And I want you to rate that on a scale of 1 to 10, 1 being the best, no problem, and 10 being the worst, that, you know, average, the average of a daily pain number. Okay. So that would be for pain. Then the next thing I want you to do in terms of an inventory is energy, your energy on a daily basis, you know, 1 through 10. Joy, your capacity of joy, for joy on a daily basis, 1 through 10. And then connection with other people and community, your family, your loved ones. Okay. So I want you to take those categories, and I want you on the first day of your Journal Speak challenge, your 28-day challenge, to rate them 1 through 10 on an average of how you feel daily, and then put it in a drawer. We're not going to look at it for 28 days. And then what I want you to do is just relax. Do not attach to outcomes. Do not watch the clock or, you know, need anything to change. Just for 28 days, every single day, give me a half hour of your life. 20 minutes of a Journal Speak practice, followed immediately by 10 minutes of a loving kindness meditation for yourself. And just to answer the frequently asked questions, any meditation will do. The reason we paired meditation with Journal Speak a couple years ago, I decided to pair it, is I know sometimes in Journal Speak, you have to say really uncomfortable and sometimes unthinkable things, because that's the whole point of Journal Speak. And so sometimes you just sit for 10 minutes, or not sometimes, you need to sit for 10 minutes and just hand to heart, or just proverbial hand to heart, forgive yourself. You're saving your own life here. It's okay. It's okay. Whatever you need to think, whatever you need to feel, whatever you need to inhabit, the letters you'll never send, the things you need to say, you're just going to rip it up when you're done anyway. So 20 minutes of Journal Speak followed by 10 minutes. It could be a guided meditation. It could be sitting in silence. It could be monks chanting, singing bowls, whatever lights you up and gives you that feeling of self-compassion and of grounding. So we're going to do that. We're going to do that together for 28 days. And if Journal Speak is new to you, there's so many different resources. Go to my website, thecureforchronicpain.com. Click on the resources tab. And there's all sorts of, I think I have a frequently asked question. I mean, I know I have a frequently asked questions page. Everything's on the website. I'm not like an expert with my navigation. Go to my website. There's so many things there. I have tons of free resources. You can learn to Journal Speak. You can also go to this podcast, and there are specific episodes about Journal Speak. One of the first few episodes is called Meet Journal Speak, Your New Best Friend. So become educated. You can also go to my YouTube channel, The Cure for Chronic Pain with Nicole Sachs. And I have something called the Healing Yourself series, parts 1 through 4, all free. It will also teach you how to Journal Speak. And if you want a real comprehensive experience, I also have an online course, which is called Freedom from Chronic Pain, that really takes you through it with original content and videos and handholding by me virtually. So that's all available to you. But just learn what you need to do and do it with me. Let's invite our actual power. Let's do that together. Okay. I want to say a couple other things before I conclude our episode today. This is from a personal place. I have been doing this podcast now for 3+ years, completely by myself. And I don't mean that I haven't felt your love and support, and I haven't enjoyed every interview and every real-time heal and every conversation I've had with a like-minded colleague. I mean, the podcast has been amazing. It has added to my life and enriched me in ways that I can't even explain. But I've done it by myself. I've been a person who over the years has had to turn down a lot of partners in this work because they didn't feel like they were purely carrying the message. It felt like they wanted to exploit it in some way or change it or bring it away from Dr. Sarno's theories, which I hold so precious and dear because of how closely I worked with him and how dear he was to me and how we worked together and sat together on that alumni panel month after month after month. And he is the originator of all these theories, and I wanted to keep them pure and true. And so over the years, when people have come to me and said, oh, yeah, we'll take what you're doing, but we're going to change it this way or add this, or, you know, you have to be different, or you can't be yourself and carry this message, you know, you change. Nothing felt right to me. But when you go and do something long enough alone, it can feel really exhausting. And there's fatigue with that. And it can also feel like the collaboration that you need in order to feel alive is lacking. And so I just want to say that for this summer series, for the last 10 episodes, I have been collaborating with my partner and producer, Lisa Eisenpresser. You see her name on the show notes. And many of the things that I've talked about and shared with you and the conclusions I've drawn and the exciting things that came together and came alive on this podcast over the last 10 episodes have come from my conversations with her and the hard work she's done, not only to understand all of this through her own experiences in her own body, but to write them up with me and to make them real and deep and meaningful. And so I just wanted to acknowledge her here and sort of introduce her to you a little bit, because as we move on in the next several months of the podcast, as we are creating and producing this new exciting format, you're going to meet her and you're going to know her. And she is an incredible mind. She is a TMS liver and breather, just like me and just like so many of you, such an incredible addition to our community. And guys, from a really personal note, because I know so many of you care about me, I'm not doing this alone anymore. I have someone who is a real partner, a person who I can trust and who can do this with me, with us. And so I just want to say from a personal place, I'm really grateful and I'm really happy. And I am really ready for whatever's next for us. So although the summer series is wrapping today, what you can expect in the months to come is really dynamic and interesting, and it's going to honestly evolve as we evolve. So sometimes I'm going to bring on a speak pipe. Sometimes I'm going to have an interview with someone who has something really interesting to say about their experience with this work. Sometimes I'm going to do a real-time heal. Sometimes I'm going to get on with Lisa, and we're going to talk about how things are landing and evolving in our own lives and as we create what's next. Whatever it is, we're going to do it together. And when the format, the next level of this podcast does come together in all of its beauty and glory, and we can present that to you, because things take time. So we're doing that in tandem to everything I'm doing here. You're going to find out all about that too. And it's all so super exciting. So thank you. Thank you for walking this path with me, for walking this path for yourself, for opening yourself to something that might not seem intuitive to you. If you were raised like me in the Western medical model, this stuff is not just nothing. It takes willingness and openness to do something different. So thank you for doing something different for yourself. And I am thinking of you, and I am loving you, and I am with you. And we have so much we're going to do together. All right. Well, until next time, this has been Nicole Sachs with the end of the summer series on the Cure for Chronic Pain podcast. And I will see you then. Bye-bye.